Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
What's a parent to do if they give their anxious teenager all the therapeutic resources they can think of and nothing changes? We'll talk about this and more in episode number 58, titled, Should I Push My Anxious and Fragile Son to Try Harder? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, please don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, Anna of Sayreville, New Jersey writes, I'm not sure what to do with my 17-year-old son. He has GAD, or Generalized Anxiety Disorder, and is falling into a state of depression. We have been seeing different professionals for a few years now. He will not speak in school and has no friends. My question is, do I force him to go to the adolescent therapy group or allow him to see his recent therapist for individual therapy and then maybe go back to adolescent therapy group when he's ready? He is in an emotionally fragile state right now, and I certainly don't want to make it worse. He is definitely receptive to going to individual weekly therapy with his recent therapist. I am not sure if I am making his anxieties worse by forcing the issue. Each time we have to take him for the group therapy, he tells us that he only wants to stay for the first hour. My husband and I keep trying to tell him to jump in with both feet. Please advise. Well, Anna, thanks so much for your question because it is an important one. You're asking me this question because you're in a bind. Push your son to challenge himself and worry that you're adding to his problem, or back off and watch him stay stuck. So here's what I understand you to be telling me. Your son has had issues with anxiety that seriously impacts his ability to function socially and emotionally for a long time. You've had him with different doctors and therapists, and at this point, he has no friends and won't talk in school. Right now, he does have a psychiatrist who's prescribing medication, and he's in weekly therapy with a therapist he likes. And you want to know if you should require him to go to group therapy. And if you do require it, should he be required to stay for the whole time? Now, what's wrong with this picture? Anxiety is a manageable, if not curable, condition. Using CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy, or DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, as well as thoughtful medication, anxiety can be successfully treated and managed. So why isn't this happening for your son? Well, the glaring issue for me is that your son is not focused on solving his problem. In fact, it isn't clear whose problem it is, his or yours. I say this because you are the ones who are trying to figure out what to do, and your son is focused on staying within his comfort zone. The psychiatrist is trying to help him. His therapist is trying to help him. You're trying to help him, and he's trying to stay comfortable. If your son is going to get better, it's because he decides that this is his problem to solve. And once he owns the problem, he'll own the solution. And then the professional help he's getting will actually help. Right now, you're on a course for him not to be able to function independently after high school, and you'll have the problem you have today, except worse, because there won't be the structure of high school for him to go to. And, you know, where's he going to go to work where he doesn't need to talk? Or How can he go to a college class if he can't stay in an adolescent therapy group or won't talk in school? One way to think about this is that your son and his parents are in a control battle where parents are trying to get their son to push himself to get better, and their son is fighting those parental efforts and is indulging his anxiety and is focused on staying comfortable. I know it might sound a little weird, but there are active control battles where the struggle is obvious with anger and name calling, like, I hate you, you can't make me, why don't you just do this? You know, and they get into that kind of obvious control battle. And then there are passive control battles where avoidance and passivity are the weapons that are used to fight the battle. And that is what's going on with your son. He's using passivity and avoidance to resist your efforts. And as you and I both know, growing and changing is uncomfortable. And your son is going to need to be uncomfortable to challenge his anxiety to get better. In fact, to get anything and get anywhere in life, we have to be willing to put ourselves out there, take risks, dig deep. That's what you're asking your son to do. But he's not learning that. He's learning to avoid, and his anxiety and depression have so much control that they are defining him. Not his athletic ability, not his intellect, not his musical or artistic talent, not even his kindness and his love for others. I hear you say that your son is particularly fragile right now, but I'm guessing that he goes between somewhat fragile to highly fragile. So if his level of fragility controls you, you'll go from low standards to no standards. So what are we going to do? All right, to end your participation in the control battle, Anna, I would push the alarm button and say, things need to change right now. You need to say that to yourself as well as to your son. And here are some things that you can do now. Tell him, yes, of course, you have to go to your adolescent therapy group. And yes, stay the whole time. That's been recommended, so that's what you'll do. Your son has no friends, and a huge part of adolescence is developing relationships outside of your family. So opening up and talking with other teenagers who have emotional problems is an important part of his recovery. If he's too fragile and he falls apart, whatever form that might take, I don't know what fragile and fall apart mean, but let's just say he falls apart and he's a puddle on the floor, then he can go to an adolescent psychiatric unit of a psychiatric hospital. And there will be group therapy in the hospital. And when he's released, it will be with the recommendation of continued group therapy as well as all his other therapy. Make sense? It sounds a little harsh, but we're talking about making a change here. And sometimes there's a lot of resistance to change. Another important thing to do is you and his dad go with him to a therapy session and find out what's being recommended to your son to do and hold him accountable to following through. For instance, if he's got being guided to do mindful meditation twice a day, is he doing that? Is he being advised to get exercise or use a workbook on managing teen anxiety? What privileges is he enjoying now? I'm guessing it includes computer and gaming time. How about if he only gets those privileges if he embraces all the therapeutic guidelines? I'm sure he'll say, but the video games are the only thing that make me feel better. And I'm sure he's right. But that's the problem. He needs to find healthy ways to feel better. Another consideration is that he could enroll in an intensive outpatient therapy program. These are therapy programs that meet several hours a day for several days a week. They include individual and group therapy, and they can help a person who is very stuck make progress. And after they stabilize and make progress, they can graduate to once or twice a week outpatient therapy. And then finally, there is the option of residential treatment. And this can include anything from a wilderness program to a therapeutic boarding school. Programs can be short-term, medium, and longer-term. And I'm certainly not making a specific recommendation. I'm just giving you the broad range of options, Anna. If you're going to consider an out-of-home treatment program, always use a licensed program placement specialist. There are a lot of programs out there, and you, of course, want to make sure your son is at the right program for his specific needs. The point is, Anna, things need to change, and they aren't changing. And they aren't changing because the family dynamic isn't changing. Medication doesn't change the family dynamic. Individual therapy doesn't change the family dynamic. Well-crafted family therapy can change the family dynamic. Now, your son and his parents are stuck in a relationship pattern that I've termed a control battle, and your son won't move forward on his developmental curve unless the family pattern changes. The dynamic in your family will change if you and his dad hold your son to much higher standards and expect him to actively address his issues. This has been going on for a long while now, so it won't be easy. I do recommend that you and his dad get counseling support for making and maintaining the changes you need to make. But if you as parents are clear and resolved that things need to change, I'm confident that slowly but surely things will indeed change and your son can and will recover. So listeners, let's all remember that mental health problems don't exist in a vacuum. Of course, anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues often include a genetic component. But how they manifest and how they're managed have everything to do with the family context. There's a problem with a child or a teenager, parents address it with their child or teenager, and it gets resolved. But if there's a chronic problem, that means one of two things. The problem hasn't been correctly understood or diagnosed, and or the way the family is addressing the problem is now part of the problem, and that's exactly what's happened to Anna's family. So if there is a chronic problem, think, what is the family pattern that is supporting the problem, and how can we change that pattern? Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone. And special thanks to Anna from Sayreville, New Jersey. Do you know someone who might benefit from reading my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle? I keep hearing from readers that have told me it's the best counseling session they ever had. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.